lips invite me, well, that's life. But just in case you couldn't guess, or hadn't heard, or didn't know, I love my wife, I love my wife, I love my wife.
Are you recording now?
We are recording.
I will have you know, Matt has his microphone in like a shoebox. Innovate.
Hey, man.
It's really funny.
Fucking, it's what makes it sound awesome, dude.
Okay.
Where do you want to start, honey?
I wanted to start with this. You do that every time with your phone.
Okay.
We're going to start bickering on the podcast now. Okay, I had this random thought, okay? And it might be really lame, but I'm going to take the risk and share it anyway.
Go ahead.
You can literally do everything wrong and still end up having a great life.
Is that how you think about this marriage?
Kind of. And just the journey, how the journey of my life has gone. Okay, so there's that.
That's it. You're just going to leave that. You don't want to discuss that. Just that.
No, I just wanted to say it. You can literally do everything wrong.
Everything
and
wrong.
Still have a great life. You can make tons of mistakes, do tons of shit wrong, and still have a great life.
I would agree. I've done a lot of things wrong. Woof!
So have I. A lot.
And your life is great today, right?
Yeah. And I mean, it's not, yes, in most ways. Life is life, there's things, there's hardships, I'd say, but yes. I have a much better life, I think, that I would have imagined if like 5 years ago. So now we're going to do some hot takes, okay?
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, so hot take. You don't know what's going to happen.
Okay.
You are not an environmental expert.
Okay.
Okay. The women in the Y locker room.
Oh, boy.
Okay. They talk about, they really think they know what's going to happen. Like,
to the planet?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I overheard this whole conversation the other day and that I just, you don't know. Like, we could end up being fine. We could all end up, you know, dying of some horrible pandemic. Like, all of it's possible, but don't walk around acting like you know what's going to happen. Nobody wants to talk to a person like that.
In middle school, I'm pretty sure they told us we were going to run out of, like, fossil fuels or coal or something. They were like, I remember watching this movie, like, oh shit, we're in trouble in like 20 years.
Nuclear war, that's remember.
Well, don't even get
80s.
Me started on that. Dude, did I show you the amazing video?
Of what?
In my high school reunion group, somebody posted a video from, like, the VHS club.
Oh, yeah.
Did I show you?
No.
It's amazing. It's amazing. I'll show you afterwards.
Yeah.
I'll share the link in the show notes.
Good old President Reagan days.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hot take. If you're posting pictures of yourself
mm-hmm.
in your bra and underwear
mm-hmm.
with the caption, Happy Monday, that's not self-love. Okay? Just FYI, it's completely insecure behavior. And you may as well put a sticker on your head that says, sexualize me so I can have a tantrum about it later.
I'm so glad you said that and not me.
On Instagram. All the comments will be. But if the whole thing will happen on Instagram. None of it is in real life.
Right.
It infuriates me.
Right.
Okay. It just does. It's not a sign of confidence to post pictures of yourself with no clothes on.
I used to send stuff to my my group. So I'll just say my friends. I don't know if they want to be called out or not. So I'll just say my friends. I have a Facebook group with my friends. There's four of us, including me. And I used to send them pictures of fitness women, OCR women, mostly nude, shirt up, but pulling the pants down, all the various,
pulling the pants.
Well, you know, that's the thing
yes,
you do.
Yes.
And I would, my caption was always, I don't know why I get so many dick pics.
Yeah.
Right. Like, but then that got old. We did it every day for 2 years and it got old.
Yeah.
But again, it's bad for me to say that, but you as a woman can say that and I am free from being hated on.
It just all gets old. Like, I was telling Matt, this isn't OCR related at all, but I listened to this podcast.
You're not on the show to discuss the obstacle racing world.
Okay.
I can get the Ryans for that.
I listened to this podcast called Art Juice because I'm an artist and I really like listening to this woman. She's English. She's really smart. She has all these amazing guests on. And her whole topic was about imposter syndrome and how literally 90% of people have it. Like, you're not alone. Everybody has it.
Tell people what imposter syndrome is for those that don't know.
When you just, you think you're a fraud. Like, you think, like, I did a, like, and this is an example. I had my first commission, like, art commission, like, real thing for this client, where I made a huge painting for her and I was literally shitting my pants before I dropped it off. Like, she's going to hate it. I called Matt. I had to have him talk me out. Like, it's just that feeling of, like, I'm nothing. Like, everything I'm doing is just a joke and nobody's going to believe that I'm really, like, they're going to find out that the real me is not good enough. Like, everybody's going to see that. Wouldn't you say that's what imposter syndrome is?
Correct.
So, anyway, it was just really interesting because I kind of, before I listened to this podcast, I kind of did think, like, I don't think everybody has this. Like, look at all these really successful people, but even really successful people have those thoughts and moments. And I was telling Matt that at the end of the podcast, they talked about the one question that everybody always asks Oprah Winfrey after she interviews them, even like Barack Obama and I don't know, I'll say Beyonce just because it sounds good, but I don't really know. Ask her, was I okay? Like, that's what they all ask her.
Right.
Anyway, I just think it's such, like, a cool universal truth. And it brought me a sense of kind of just, like, unity or, I don't know, like, calmness to know that everybody struggles with imposter syndrome. But why did I say that, though? Because
you, when you sold the art piece, you felt...
Right. But because Instagram is a culture that feeds imposter syndrome a lot of the time. When you're feeling insecure and you're having a bad day, you're going to look at people's, you know, sort of like curated life and think like, oh, well, they're doing better than I am, or she looks better in a bra and underwear than I do, or just all that stuff. Or like, I'm not going to go on a whole diatribe about like social media is like ruining the world, but it's just something to think about for me. I thought, you know, because I have days where I do that and it definitely can trigger that.
I was going to allow her to ask a question. Stacey has good boundaries.
Okay, go ahead. No,
my daughter just walked in to ask something because she's home from school sick and Stacey's not having it.
Nope.
Good boundaries.
What else? Okay, what else are we going to talk about?
Oh, so we both made notes separately. Those are great. Do you want to tell everybody about our recent HVAC situation here in the winter?
First of all, I want you all to know that Matt is not handy. Like... And I mean that literally, like, he's not handy. He's extremely smart. He's extremely funny and talented and very good at many things, but he's not handy.
Okay. I think that's a good start. Like, like, I can, you know, change a light bulb, but if it's going to be more complicated than that, right? It's like there's the way I've heard it described is there are two kinds of people. People who fix shit in their house and people that hire people to fix shit in their house. Now, my stepdad, RIP, Jerry Bassett, he's dead. His ashes are up there. He was awesome because he was like the kind of dad that like refused to pay but also wasn't very good at it. Like, let's just duct tape the hell out of it kind of thing, which is like looking back is like funny. Like, a lot of people can relate to that. Like, they know a little bit, and then if they can't, they just duct tape the hell out of it, right? But then there's, like, my brother-in-law, who could take an engine apart, could take a TV apart, who did that since they were kids, and, like, that's their thing. I don't know what the brain is. I'd love to have... if somebody wants to message me, I bet there's some good... what's his name? Big Hair, that does all the great explaining. Oh, my God, what's his name?
The artist?
No, the guy who does... The Freakonomics guy. Right. Well, anyway, about that kind of brain and like,
right.
You just X, Y, and Z. So here's a perfect example.
Right. And also like a light bulb will be out for like 3 weeks. Just you'll change it.
But I was trying to make a funny joke that I could handle a project as simple as changing a light bulb. I was just making the joke. But so let's take, here's a good example. Okay. There are people who are good at fixing things and then, okay, let me put it this way. So I'm someone that only learns by mistake or if it's like, okay, so Or, okay. The other, I think I've talked about this before, where there are people who are like, oh, we'll just YouTube it. And then they can YouTube it. They can YouTube the thing and then figure it out. Like, there's this whole world now. And so for guys that are handy, God bless you. That's not me. So like, you know, if you learn something about your car, if you're like me, I remember once I learned, I can't even think of what, I'm trying to make a good example. You get the fucking point. I'm not handy. So let's talk about this is really loud. God, hang on a second. Do that. Okay. So we're going to talk over here. I was talking close because I was afraid it wasn't picking up and I talked too close. So I think about here is perfect, like right about where we are. You can get a little bit closer maybe. Yeah, like right there. Yeah, because you're loud enough. So, okay. So do you want to start with, we heard a rattling coming outside the house. Do you want to start with that?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a rattling outside our house around the outdoor AC unit. Okay, do you want to start there?
Yeah, like it sounds like metal it sounds like a washing machine with metal in it on spin cycle.
Perfect. Perfect description. Now, I go out and look at it. I don't see anything. So we call our landlord, who, hot take, is a fucking slumlord.
He's a cocksucker.
The odds he listens to
this. I was just going to say, if he's listening, sorry, you're a cocksucker.
Doesn't fix stuff. Famously, like, will just be like, oh, it's your fault and I'm not going to pay for it, or doesn't answer the fucking emails. Sent someone right away, I think, because there's some kind of laws around heat.
Slumlord, bro.
Sent a guy right away who we know and like.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy. His name's Reggie.
I was going to not give his name because I thought that would lead people back to finding out who our landlord was. But whatever, Reggie, great guy.
I don't think people care that much. But
okay. I'm just being paranoid. Reggie is like, dude, you got ice all over this thing. Like, you got to let it thaw out, right? And I looked again, and sure enough, there is ice inside and out. Like, I don't know how I didn't see the ice inside. I just saw it on the outside.
So much ice, you guys. Like, it's like
layers of ice.
It's like when you see those huge blocks, it's like a huge block of ice on the inside and a huge block of ice on the outside.
Okay. So he says, Matt, first of all, your filters are completely clogged, which they were, and that makes it work really hard. And that's why that's why ice built up, because it couldn't pump the air and blah, 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 blah. Any man with any tools and any skills is going, you're a fucking idiot. Yeah. Why don't you change your filters more often?
Because he's done this song and dance with us before.
Who has?
Reggie.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But we've never had the ice build up like that.
Right.
We've never quite.
Probably the third.
It's Atlanta, so we don't get a lot of ice. Honestly, it never gets cold enough. You know what I mean? That long. We don't. I'm sure people in. Anyway, so. So he says, you got to let it sit for like a day or two. You can use your emergency heat in the meantime. Now, if I remembered correctly, which I don't think I did, when we first moved in and it was just busted, we put on the emergency heat, and then we had this ridiculously high bill because it's on all the time. It's these different set of dampers, blah, blah, blah. I don't know how it fucking works. I'm not handy. Anyhow, it's really expensive. So I think, well, I don't want to have the emergency heat running for 2 days straight while this thing thaws out. So I will remove some of the ice, right?
So, okay, but this is the key part of the story. Reggie has told Matt, you got to be patient. You got to wait it out. He told me, he told Matt, do not touch it.
He didn't say that. He didn't say, okay. He didn't, listen, this is not Reggie's fault. It's one of those things.
No, I was saying it's your fault.
No, it's, right. But here's what I'm saying. There's a difference in Matt, let this thaw out in a couple days, it'll be fine. And then you can do it. Not, hey, Matt, let it thaw out. By the way, don't fucking touch it because you can do all these other, you know what I'm saying? Okay. He didn't think to say it because normal humans don't do it. It's kind of like, okay, how about this? I'll give you another great example, okay? It's just, this isn't a great example.
You're losing the story. You're going off track.
Do not try to control me, Stacey.
Okay, sorry.
He didn't think to say it. He just thought by saying, you got to give it a couple days, that was enough. Had he said, and I'm sure to the next homeowner / renter who looks as goofy as me about this stuff, he'll say it. He'll go, you got to give it a chance. P.S. Don't try anything. So what do we begin to do, honey? How do we remove the ice from the...
So Matt decides we're going to go out there and work together and remove the ice. I'm following his lead Because I don't know that Reggie has basically told him, like, don't do that.
He didn't say don't do that. He just said, hey, Matt, in a couple days we'll dry it. He didn't say, in the meantime, don't touch it.
So
I would have not touched it.
So I have a huge butcher knife.
And I
and
have.
I'm fucking, and Matt is, like, so excited and proud of himself because he's found a screwdriver and a hammer.
Which works phenomenally at chipping ice away. Like, okay. I was like you're making an ice sculpture.
So we're both, like, chipping the ice away, and we're kind of, like, humoring each other about it. Like, okay, this is, like, so all of a sudden, oh my God, Matt's fucking chipping with the thing, and literally, like, it's a mini Chernobyl. Like, smoke billowing fucking everywhere, you guys. Like, literally, it's like hissing. There's smoke everywhere. It looks like there was an explosion, and Matt is, like, underneath the smoke. I can't even see his face. And then he looks at me with, like, this complete panic, terror look on his face. Like, did it get my face? Did it get my face? And no, I'm like, no, it didn't. But it, you know, like, whatever happened went into his face, and he thought that he was, like, maimed for life.
So here's what you need to know, dads who are like me. Underneath that ice is the outside of the AC unit. Now, there's actually, like a metal, like, you know, grating, if you will. Like, it's got slats to generally protect it from the outside. But beneath that is a very thin layer that protects many, many tubes. It's a closed tubing system.
Coils.
And that is where the Freon runs.
Yeah.
And what I did, from my perspective, chip, 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 oops. Hole in the thing. A small, imagine 9 gazillion tons of pressure of Freon shoots out in a stream onto my chin. And that was my first reaction, like, oh my God, I burned my face. I'm like, honey, is it okay? Is it okay? Is it okay? And then she's like, you're fine.
He kept asking.
Well, it's like when you know you've hurt yourself, but you're afraid to look or you can't look. Listen, anybody who's over the age of whatever knows that. You've, like, fallen down. You're like, oh my God, is it bleeding? Right? So that's the thing. But then I start calming down because my face is okay. She starts panicking. I gotta call the fire department. I'm like, honey, just calm down. We gotta call the fire department. Because Freon is escaping in a, you know, now it hits the air. It's just smoke.
Okay, but you have to understand, it was really scary looking though. Like, I don't know. I was raised calling the fire department when stuff like that happens, right. Which I know it sounds really ridiculous. I have been embarrassed at times because I've called the fire department in, like, really situations where I didn't need to.
So this is one of those cases that she would have. However, I realize, like, as it's happening, it's slowly getting weaker. Like, not immediately, but and I'm like, okay, in my mind, I immediately get it. Again, for a guy who's not very handy, I'm like, okay, at some point, it's going to run out, right? It's like, the Freon will run out and this will stop, right?
But so you realized it was Freon?
No, I knew that. Okay. I knew whatever it was.
Because I didn't.
No, I was like, oh yeah, it's like, it's getting smaller and smaller. So, like, it's right. Going
to
run out.
And from my perspective, it looked like a smoking fucking
right.
Explosion.
Right. Like, there's a difference, right? Though, it's not smoke. It was, what do you call it? It was Freon, which then turns to whatever the fuck.
Like dry ice.
Right, whatever it hits. Smoke the, or exactly. Whatever. So, right. I call Reggie. Reggie's like, Matt, I told you not to touch it. I said, I know that. He's like, I told you specifically not to touch it. I'm like, well, you just said let it sit. You didn't add on the, but either way, Reggie, I'm an idiot. Can you come and fix it? We don't have any heat in the house. He's like, I don't know. I'll come by tomorrow. He comes by. And at first, he's like, I can't even fix it. Like, you're going to have to replace the whole unit. And our landlord is not going to not have me pay for it.
Right.
So, long story short, he fixed it.
And, thank God. And I'll have to say, I've gotten so much mileage out of this. Like, I've laughed so hard. I literally woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go to the bathroom the other day. And I started just reliving this scene in my head when Matt's like, is my face? I was fucking laughing so hard.
If you've ever been hit in the face with, I don't know, a BB gun or I'm trying to think of something, that pressure was so hard that I thought for sure my face was maimed. I really was. It was very quick. It was all very... And it's surprising. You're not expect. It's not like when you're like, you know, like no, digging for oil and you eventually the gush of oil comes up. At least somewhere in your mind you were expecting it. So yeah, don't bring anything sharp near your AC unit.
Yeah, if you didn't know that.
That's the lesson. So the next thing I have up is, you want to talk about River? Like your recent experience with River and school? Like why they called you the other day?
So what's that called? The thing that you get in the mail? Do any of your listeners do it?
Probably not. It's called Hunt the Killer. Ironically, actually, started by the guy who started the zombie run way back when, and that's how I started talking to him again. So I get the free Hunt a Killer every month. It's a basically you're playing fucking Clue murder mystery by the things they mail you. Okay, I know. Trust me.
Boys love it.
Well, so, it just free crap comes. There's like, here's a pamphlet. Here's a made up thing. I got a nice hat out of it. It's a good winter hat. But yeah. there's always at least one toy in it for the kids. A magnifying glass. A compass. Right. So this time it was, or so do you want to...
In this particular one, it was like this person had been murdered or something, and it was like two evidence bags, and one had like an old crusty like bone, and River, of course, was like, can I keep it? And then the other bag had like a mini little flask in it, and like River doesn't know what a flask is, and you know, I mean, everybody knows that Matt and I don't drink, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, so it's just kind of ironic. I personally have been sober for almost 19 years. I used to carry a flask. I used to own quite a few. But like, I don't know. I didn't really think about it.
Need a little nip once in a while at the office? Sure.
Yeah, in the morning, whenever. So River is playing with it. He's like, can I have this, Mom? It's a water bottle. I'm like, yeah, sure, you can have it. So he's like filling it with water all day, like his little six-year-old self. He's all excited. He's like taking it to the park and like drinking out of it and whatever. And so yesterday, I didn't think anything of it. I mean, I didn't even remember he had played with it. I get a call from school that he brought the flask with him to the field trip and started like casually just like drinking out of it, like at the field trip, standing next to his teacher. Jesus fucking Christ. The counselor called me and then like the principal had it and thankfully they were cool about it, but it was like ironic.
Well, I think some of you heard last year I had this old like military bullet, like a big long giant. It's not a fucking Tech Nine, okay? It's a big long, like imagine what you put in a fucking musket. It was this old, like I had it, I got it like in a ceremony of some kind. And Jackson brought that to school. And,
oh, right.
And so I had to come in that day.
Right, the social worker called.
Right. Like, hey, man, you can't have... And it's like, we own zero guns.
We don't own a gun.
We own zero... There's zero alcohol in our house. So...
The irony.
Leave it to our kids to fuck it up for us. Now, do you want to say the other reason why you're really scared about the school?
Keeps us humble. Keeps us humble. Oh, you mean the other story? That's too long, David.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll leave that. Okay, I think we're at like almost 30 minutes now. Do you want to tell one of your gym stories or no? I think you should tell at least one of your gym stories.
What?
What do you mean what? You've come home with like five in the last few days. There's the crazy lady. There's the high school kids. There's like so many gym stories.
Oh, well, there's a guy there. I mean, I respect him. We call him the Black Arnold Schwarzenegger because he literally like... He looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger. And he's just, you know, he just doesn't have any regard for, like, he benches in the squat rack because he has a shoulder injury. And he just, you know, those people that take up the whole gym? So him and his girlfriend take up the whole gym and give everybody dirty looks who are trying to do anything. And she basically, like, she's a serial killer. It's Black Arnold Schwarzenegger and his serial killer girlfriend. I politely asked him the other day, like, hey, can I work in with you? Are you squatting? And he's like, no, I'm benching because I have an injury, blah, blah, blah. I said,
so just,
okay.
Just to explain to the non-gym rats, because I had to learn this, working in is when you're both, you know, you don't always do the same exercise the whole time. You alternate. Now I'm benching. Now I'm doing this as part of your workout. So you just, it's kind of a thing. It's kind of a give and take in the gym. So not one person can hog any one station for a long period of time because it's the why and it's limited space. Did I describe that perfectly?
Very well. It's kind of like the big trend that everybody's like, be kind and like,
oh, Jesus.
You know, blah, blah, blah. It's like, nobody really, it just, it's like, that's what they're at. That's what you're asking when you go to the gym, whatever. I can say, honestly, I am very generous and kind at the gym. I'm never an asshole, literally, to anyone, even if I don't like the person, because we don't like everybody, right? But seriously, like if somebody asks me to work in or I offer somebody to work in, if I see they're waiting, it's just like, don't be a fucking scumbag. So he never does. 45 minutes later, he approaches me and I just decided to use the Smith machine because it wasn't even worth like getting into a whole thing with.
I roll the Smith machine. People don't even know what that is.
Okay. The Smith machine is basically like where you can do squats. It's a bar that has leverage and hooks on it with like a pulley thing that gives you resistance if you're squatting. It's not the same as squatting in a raw squat rack.
Right, a free weight.
The weight feels different. Everything about it's different. I personally do not like the Smith machine. I only use it as like a last resort when the gym is super crowded and some selfish fucker won't let me work in with him on the squat rack. So anyway, long story short, such a typical fucking... So 45 minutes later, he comes up to me. He's like, hey, did you want to work in with me at the squat rack? And it was like... Better late than never, buddy. Like, what have you been doing for, like, what do you think has been happening for the past half an hour? Like, that I'm just, like, sitting here with my thumb up my fucking ass waiting for you to finish? Like, anyway, I'm considering leaving the Y. It's my stupid, it's super crowded. Oh, and also, it's not a CrossFit gym. So stop bringing your plates and your chalk and cleaning in the middle of the fucking gym. Because literally, like, this guy doesn't even really know what he's doing. And I'm not saying, hey, man, I'm not good at cleaning. I don't attempt doing that in an environment where there's people walking by me constantly. People do calisthenics. They do clean and jerks, like, in the middle of the Y. I almost wrote a complaint card today and I was like, Stacey, you need to think about what you're grateful for in your life. Like, this is so not necessary. But this guy literally, like... He's like creating his own CrossFit gym, like puts the ladder down on the floor. And like, don't forget that like people are actually walking, that's the way to get to the restroom. But you know, do your clean and jerk station.
Stacey calls it the ladder. It's when you put the ropes down with the, spaces in between, there's probably a name for it.
Which is awesome.
That neither of us know, but you would do that outside or at a park.
Or how about there is a gymnasium that is adjacent to the weight room.
Which is literally which is literally the size of what, 3 basketball courts?
A football field.
There's a basketball court and another basketball court and another basketball court. They're not all being used, and even if they were, you could still do what you're describing.
Your kettlebell swings, your jump roping so that you don't whip people in the fucking face with your jump rope.
I have no gym etiquette. I don't fucking know, but the one time I was doing Yancey Camp 3 years ago and I was supposed to do farmer's walks with the dumbbells, I specifically went up to the track to do them to get the fuck away from people because I know I couldn't do them back and forth in that narrow fucking area between machines.
But it's not called gym etiquette necessarily. It's just etiquette in general. It's
like, I'm just saying that like even I knew like, oh, I'm going to do these farmer's walks with these weights. I'm going to schlep them upstairs because it's too fucking narrow to do it back and forth in this. Right. There's old people.
Right. And I'm at the Y. Like, there's old people. There's people with canes. There's people in wheelchairs sometimes. It's like, but clean and jerk, just because you might want to hit somebody in the fucking face with your, like, when you trip and fall on your ass. I mean, it's so unsafe. And, like, it's just amazing to me. And people leave. My coach has a IG page that's called Gym Fuckery because it's so stupid. It's like we all complain about this, or we all joke around about how inconsiderate people can be at the gym. And, you know, obviously not racking your weights, all that stuff. But it's just like, you know, nobody racks their weights. You know, same people who probably leave their dirty, disgusting fucking garbage in their kitchen for a week and never empty it.
But here's the thing, sweetie. For, again, a guy who's not a gym rat, the complaints that you're giving are kind of across the board. So it's like a geographic. It's like you're going to go to another gym and deal with a different set of, unless you specifically do what you want to do, like what you're talking about, which is like weightlifting gyms, which unfortunately there's nothing in our immediate area.
I know.
Like you could go to East Atlanta Barbell. Like I think that's the closest
thing. He's basically a Scientologist, so no thanks. Isn't he?
You talking about what's his name?
Yeah.
No, he doesn't own it anymore.
Oh.
Remember? He left. I mean.
Anyway, this is probably really boring to people who don't go to the gym.
There's Stacey with her imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
Again.
But.
You know what I never say on my show? You probably hate this. This is horrible.
Oh. Okay. Well, live and learn. I'm learning. So pick up your BOSU balls and your free weights. Oh, and also do me a favor. Stop leaving 600 pounds on the leg press. When you do the leg press, get up and put your fucking weights away. Because first of all, it intimidates women who want to use the leg press because then they have to go like, oh, now I have to get all this weight off of it and I don't even know how to use the machine. But see, all these Neanderthals, they just don't think of this. They just don't. And it's just, it's really annoying. And signs don't matter. Signs don't do anything. They don't do shit.
My question that I had for you the other day was, forget that, like, any...
Also, don't wear cologne. Don't wear, just, you know what? Or patchouli. I'm sorry. I know some
you know Marin. Like, you know Marin still wears patchouli?
It's one thing. I hate this.
You know when people say I hate to name drop? I love to name drop. Marin's in town, so we hung out a couple days. And it's the first thing I notice when he gets in the car.
Woo.
And I'm like, dude. But I don't think he parties before the gym. But here's the thing. Not re-racking, blah, blah, blah. That stuff's just bad overall. Like, the guy who's a dick, I feel like you should be able to complain about because you guys that go to the Y every day, you should be able to say to people, like,
well,
so that the gym, so the staff says, hey, you got to be really conscious of this. And then he gets better or he doesn't. And then over time, you can eventually say, dude, if you can't do it, you're not allowed to.
Right. I'm not going to complain about him. I'm going to talk to him next time I see him. If he still does the same thing and doesn't let me work in with him, then I will. But first, I'm going to talk to him first. And then if he doesn't feel that it's necessary to, because I do think some of it has to do with me being a woman. Honestly, I do. Because guys work in with each other all the time. There's a couple of guys I'm friends with at the gym that we have mutual respect for each other. They always let me work in with them. Like, I do think part of it is that when a big macho guy sees a woman coming to the squat rack to do squats, he just thinks that like, oh, well, she doesn't really need to use it. She can just use the other machine. And it's like, no, I can actually squat the weight that you're squatting. So I do need to use it. That's why it makes me mad.
Y'all, that was just a fucking mic drop, bro. Did you hear that?
Drop it.
Did you hear that? I don't know where you live, but there's a mic drop in Atlanta, Stacey. God damn.
We should probably end it there.
Fire. All right, I love you, sweetie.
Love you, too.
I'm not sure you meant that one.
I love you most days.
Okay. Love stays.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.